Today we light that candle of peace. We've lit that candle of peace. Yeah, it's a time of year. You know, we live in a world that's hungry for peace. We live in a world that's desiring peace in all kinds of different ways and in all kinds of different places. And as we've talked a little bit about, God promises us peace. But sometimes it's hard to find in the middle of it all. In the time of year when we sing about peace, and we talk about peace more perhaps more than at any time of the year, sometimes it's also the time of the year when peace seems the farthest away. Peace can seem far away for lots of different reasons. Just the busyness of the season. Last week we talked about the fact that we can make choices about what to do with the season, but at the same time, making choices in life is stressful too. It's not always the most peaceful thing to do. Sometimes when we're making choices that of how we're going to live out our lives, how we're going to celebrate a life-giving Christmas, we're afraid that we're going to hurt others. Sometimes peace can seem far away because we're missing people this time of year. Christmas was my mother's favorite time of year. She loved sharing it with people in all kinds of different ways. So it's one of those times of years for me that can be filled with sadness as well that comes from missing her and allowing peace to seem far away. Peace for many this time of year is even farther away because of the type of year we're having. You know, there's all kinds of unexpected storms that are coming into people's lives. Certainly we saw that in a very physical way this week when the winds hit us so hard on Wednesday and everyone was faced with all kinds of new challenges of how to spend time and how to spend energy that they didn't want to spend, moving trees, moving branches, putting houses back together. And yet, where do we find peace in the middle of all of that? Then there are those that are faced with economic challenges. I spent about 3 or 4 weeks working with someone who's homeless in town, trying to get them the assistance that they need, getting them the help that they need. You know, peace sometimes seems elusive to me because I'm wondering, you know, what gifts are going to be the most significant for the kids. I'm wondering what to do with finances that are already limited. Wondering how to make the grocery dollar go the farthest with guests that are coming over. But I got to tell you something. He gave me the privilege of walking through the food shelf down in Middlebury with him as I helped him to sign up with some of the aides. And he's got some help from here in Bristol as well. And God's reached out to him in many different ways. And it's been interesting to watch that journey. But I got to tell you, it was humbling to walk through that food pantry and to say, oh, you can pick one off this shelf and one off that shelf and one off this shelf. I hope you can have two from these two shelves. And then to stop at Hannaford and to walk in there to do my own grocery shopping on the way home. I got to tell you, it was a quick run through the store. Because everything had a new meaning after seeing what he was faced. We're all faced with difficult challenges, with difficult circumstances in our lives. Some years they're right in the forefront. Sometimes they seem to be a little bit farther back in our lives. But we need to remember that there's a whole lot more going on. There's also a lot more going on in the lives of those around us. God gives us the gift of each other. He gives us the gift of community. And that means sometimes we have to take the time to sit and listen and to be with those that are struggling around us. Realizing that while we know that we can make a difference in somebody's life with a smile, while we know that an encouraging word when somebody needs it the most or thinks they need it the least may make a difference, there's sometimes we need to take the time and listen to what's really going on in people's lives and to just sit with them in the struggles that we're facing. I think that's what I've learned over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Sometimes as a pastor and many times as a church, we're really disconnected from the needs of each other and the needs of those around us. I want to share with you the words that John offered up. Again, Matthew chapter 3 comes at that time. Actually, Jesus has been born and he's going to be getting ready to come out and to make public his ministry. And Jesus and John the Baptist, this fellow who's dressed in camel hair, who's got a belt around his waist and eats nothing but locusts and honey. becomes the first person to really speak out loud on God's behalf in several hundred years. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around the waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Jumping ahead to verse 11, John says, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." John the Baptist comes to prepare a way. He baptizes people as he's inviting them to turn back to God, where the peace they're looking for is going to be found in this kingdom that is oh so near. But he also says the day is coming when that kingdom's not just going to be near, but it's going to be right there in their midst, like they've never experienced it before. Those verses from chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Eugene Peterson puts a little bit different spin on those here in the message. He says, "I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. The real action comes next. The main character in this drama, compared to him, I'm a mere stagehand. I will ignite the kingdom life with it. I'm a mere stagehand. Will ignite the kingdom life within you. A fire within you. The Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house. He's going to make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything in its proper place before God. Everything false he'll put out with the trash to be burned." I don't know about you, but sometimes making my way towards Christmas and trying to get out decorations and trying to get the right gifts, trying to get together the right meals, sometimes it seems impossible to get everything in the right place. Isn't it wonderful that John says that Jesus will come into our life? He'll not only clean house, he'll not only sweep out all the stuff that doesn't really matter, but that he'll help to put everything in the right place. Think of your life right now. Jesus said to the disciples as he was getting ready to go to heaven, he said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, and in my Father's house there's many rooms." Well, let's think of our lives as a house with many rooms. John says that God's going to come in there, God's willing to come in there and to clean house and to put everything in its right place. As Jesus walks through the front door of your house right now, what does he see? What's the first thing that catches his eye? What's the first thing that's out of place? Is there a particular room that you'd want to invite him into? Because it needs the most work. Is there a particular room that you'd want to push him away from? Because you can't even imagine the thought of God knowing what's right there. But yet the Bible tells us that God knows the thoughts that we have in our hearts and our minds before they become words on our lips. So isn't it ironic that the things we work the hardest to hide from God, God already knows are there. And Jesus says, that's okay. John says, that's okay. Bring that all out in the open, dump it right here in the Jordan River and let God wash it away. You know, like I said, we live in a world that's hungry for peace. We all want peace in our lives. We live in a world where we exercise for peace. We light candles for peace. We've learned that certain smells bring about peace. For each one of us, I'm sure those things are all different. There's all kinds of avenues and ways to peace. We live in a world where we need peace in our lives. We need peace in our families. We need peace in our classrooms. We need peace in our churches. We need peace from the trials that we're dealing with every day. Sometimes we need peace from the past. We live in a world where we're willing to work for peace. We're willing to study peace. We're willing to talk about peace. We're willing even to die for peace. We're living in a world that fights for peace, in a world where sometimes fighting even stops to sing about peace. But it's Jesus who makes it. It's the Scriptures that make it clear that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And it's Jesus who makes it clear in His words that as He was getting ready to go into heaven, after He would give up His life, that it's His peace that He gives to us. He says, I leave it with you. Take it. Enjoy it. And whatever you do, don't keep it to yourselves. Because Jesus, in His one of His most famous sermons, the Sermon on the Mount, said, blessed are the peacemakers, because they're going to be called the sons of God. They're going to be called the children of God. We talk and sing about and celebrate the fact that we are God's children. And I believe that's true in all kinds of ways. But Jesus makes it clear that the rest of the world will never know it unless we're willing to be peacemakers and to share the peace of Christ with those that we meet around us every day. And again, sometimes that means getting down and dirty and spending time with people in our lives. That means putting aside the busyness for a minute and being willing to talk about the real stuff that's going on with one another. I don't know about you, but there's been many times in my life where I've tried everything under the sun to find peace from something I was dealing with, something I was going through. I knew somehow if I could just change the circumstances that I was handed, everything would be okay. And that peace would be there again. But the peace that Christ offers us doesn't come because of changed circumstances. The peace Christ offers us is a gift that comes from deep within us. John says it's the Holy Spirit working within us that's going to change us from the inside out, that can sweep away all of that other stuff that keeps us from experiencing that peace that God longs for us to enjoy. And sometimes we only live in that peace for moments and other things get in the way. But that's all part of our faith journey. It doesn't mean we don't have faith. It's a part of the reality of dealing with everyday life. The disciples experienced the peace of God in all kinds of different ways. They saw that peace come alive when Jesus reached out and touched people that were hurting. They'd been sick for years. They'd been to all kinds of doctors, and He'd reach out and He'd touch them. And all of a sudden, they'd be well. There were those times when they were out on the Sea of Galilee, and they'd cry out to Jesus and wake Him up in the boat because they thought they were going to die. And Jesus would look out across the waters after they would say to Him, don't you even care what we're going through? He'd look out across the waters, and He'd say, peace be still, and they'd suddenly be calm. And it'd get them over to the other side so they could get their feet back on solid ground again and they could journey ahead. In what ways has the peace of Christ come into your life? What times have you heard God speak peace into some storm that you were facing? What is the storm that you're facing right now that you need the peace of Christ in? John says the kingdom of God is near. Jesus says the kingdom of God is already here, and I've come to make it known to you. He taught people and told people about it in all kinds of different ways. But He also made it clear that the peace of Christ was something that was needed to be experienced and not just learned about. And it was something that would always be experienced in community as well. That's why as a church we come together and we celebrate Holy Communion. After Jesus had told the disciples about that place that He was going to prepare, after He told them about that time, about the fact that there was no greater love than a person laying down his life for another, after He promised them that even when He seemed far away, He'd always be right there with them because of the work of the Holy Spirit, and He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, He gathered His disciples together in the upper room. We've celebrated the story before. But God calls each and every one of us to remember it in a fresh, new way. Because when we're remembering what God has done in the past, we're recognizing what God's doing right here in the now. For many, many years, the prophets had told about the day when this Prince of Peace would be born. They told about what Jesus would be like when he came, what the world would be like when Jesus came out into it. But yet those who were watching it happen missed it. Because life happens that way. But that didn't keep Jesus from touching those that were hurting. That didn't keep Jesus from bringing peace to those who were dealing with chaos. That didn't keep Jesus from teaching others how to share peace with people each and every day. And so, as we remember those prophets that spoke down through the ages, we also remember there was a quiet time in there. There were several hundred years that God didn't seem to say a thing. But yet, God wasn't far away. And God was waiting there for just the right moment when He would put a whole new part of history into action. When this life would begin to be born out into the world that had been talked about for so long. So that people could really enjoy the kingdom of God and be changed from the inside out. There's all kinds of unexpected characters, stagehands, if you will, that God has used to bring that story to life. God calls each and every one of us to be stagehands, to continue to help bring that story to life today. In different, sometimes small and maybe even seemingly unnoticed ways every day. Jesus gathered the disciples in the upper room. He knew he was going to die. He knew things were coming to a head with the Pharisees and the scribes and with all the leaders in the land. And he knew he'd be asked to give up his life, a life he was freely willing to give. And it was there in the midst of that tradition of Passover and remembering what God had done in leading the people up out of slavery in Egypt that Jesus brought the kingdom life together to alive in a new way. It was there that he gave thanks to God for the gift of bread. And as he gave thanks to God for the gift of bread, the minds of the disciples gathered there were racing. Their mouths continued to run. They continued to argue about all the chaos that was happening in life and where they fit into it all. They wrestled with many of the same things that we wrestle with every day. Some of them missed loved ones. Some of them weren't sure that they were spending the money in the right way. But none of this distracted Jesus from bringing the kingdom alive. He took the bread after he had blessed it, and he broke it. He said, "This is my body. This is my life. And it's given for you. Take this in remembrance of me." And as the chaos continued, and I'm sure the conversations even sped up a little bit because the disciples became even more confused about what was happening there at the table, Jesus gave thanks again as the meal came to an end. He was called to do this as the host of the meal, but again, he began to do a new thing and the kingdom began to come alive in a new way. He said, "This is my blood. This is the blood of the new covenant. And it's poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this often, and as often as you do, drink it in remembrance of me." And so Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit, continues to work down through the ages, inviting each and every one of us to come to the table, to share in the gift of God's grace, and to share the gift of God's grace with one another. To celebrate the hope and the peace that it brings into the world each and every day. Not because our circumstances change, but because God's faithfulness doesn't. So let us join our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Good and gracious God, you are the God of the ages. Your love runs down through time in all kinds of different ways. Your kingdom comes alive when we least expect it. And you promise to wait with us, even when it seems as though it's so far away. We pray that as you gather us in here this morning, that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit on each and every one of us gathered here. That you'd bring healing, hope, and new life. That you'd bring us that peace that we long for, that peace that surpasses all understanding. We pray that you'd bring us the faith and the courage to share that peace with others, knowing that your peace is not some river that will run dry, but it's an overflowing spring that runs down through all times. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and juice. Let them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be the people of God for this world that you've called us to live in. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your church, gathered in all times and all places, celebrating your presence in our lives, remembering all that you are and all that you've done, and celebrating that which you're doing among us right now, yet helping us to look ahead to the next day that comes with you as well. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit and make us one. Let the walls of division be swept away. Come into the rooms of our hearts and of our lives and sweep away the clutter that you find there, that we might turn our heart towards you in some new way today as we celebrate this great and wonderful gift that you so freely give. To you be the glory, Lord, now and forever. Amen. Robin, would you help me with communion? Again, everyone is invited to come and to celebrate in the gift of Holy Communion. We'll start with this side over here coming across, and then the middle section coming across and down, and again going back up this aisle to get to your seat, and then finally the third section coming across the back, down, and back to your seat. So come and celebrate in this great and wonderful, this priceless and undescribable gift of grace that God offers to each and every one of us.